If you have not had the chance to check it out, I highly recommend you swing in for one of our children's worship services. These are before the regular service, about 9:15-ish on the second Sunday of every month. We have this special service designed just for children, and yet for all of us. There are songs, there are prayers, there's puppets, there's an offering. Everything we do every Sunday, but specifically designed to be as engaging and age-appropriate as possible. I describe the service as loving values for short attention spans. That's myself included. Every month I write a script for our visiting puppet, whether it's, you know, Frank the Flamingo or Freddy Fox or Delilah the Duck. We've got some wonderful puppets that make an appearance with us. I have this nice little script I hand to that puppet as they get here, and we look at it as a chance to deal with the issues of life and talk about them with the kids. Now, having grown up with Mr. Rogers, I believe in addressing very real issues with children and not avoiding the hard stuff. I have a deep appreciation for this, and only recently have I been able to fully appreciate the amazing work it takes to address difficult life issues honestly and in an age-appropriate way. We're not talking about dumbing anything down, not at all. So how do we take these big, real, complex issues of life and help talk about them with our children? It requires a whole another level of understanding on our part as adults. You see, in August, the theme of the puppet sermon in the scripture story was forgiveness. And as I sat down to write out the puppet sermon, the whole idea was, see, what I was going to do was I was going to knock over Freddy Fox's block tower, and then we'd have this whole interaction around it. It was going to be good. I felt it was real, right? The things would go on. Okay, great. I had the puppet. I had the blocks. I had the stories. I had the songs. I had everything I needed, except an honest and clear understanding of what forgiveness was. I mean, I always thought I knew what forgiveness was until I had to sit and try to explain it to our children. You know, like up here in my head, I have these concepts and these experiences and these ideas, and if given enough words and enough time, I can get to a coherent answer. But that doesn't cut it with children. And to be honest, it shouldn't cut it for any of us. With something as important and life-changing as forgiveness, I think we all need a clear, understandable, shareable, and most importantly, livable answer to what is it. And so I really had to give some consideration to forgiveness and all that it can mean and what it doesn't mean. And I had to find more than the right words. I had to find an understanding of it all. And here's what I came to. As Freddy the Fox and I sat there chatting, we decided that forgiveness is loving someone even after they make a mistake. Now, as adults, we know that the mistakes that get made by people are much bigger than knocking over a block tower sometimes. There are ways people have hurt us that completely change who we are for a lifetime. And as we talk about forgiveness today, I want to remind you that if there are experiences or hurts in your life that you need help with, you're not alone. Talk with me. Let me get you a referral to a great counselor if you want one. Remember that you're not alone with these things. The act of forgiveness is just as essential for those little things in life as it is for the big things. And it all starts in the same place. Now, one of my favorite Bible verses comes from Colossians in the 3rd chapter. And this is what it says. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as God has forgiven you. That's how you should forgive. And above all things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. See, one of the things I appreciate in our scriptures is that when they talk about forgiveness, they really help us understand that it isn't just us alone, that it's something that everyone is involved in. This scripture specifically makes forgiveness a very communal thing. It makes it communal, and it keeps us communal. Our scripture makes forgiveness communal by allowing us to find support, encouragement, and examples in one another within our community. I tell you, I have watched church family members forgive people for things that far outweigh any grievance I've ever experienced in my life. And they inspire me. You know, sometimes loving certain people takes the help of a whole lot of other people loving us. You know, forgiveness also keeps us communal, because forgiveness allows us to remain connected. We will make mistakes with each other. As a community, as people in any kind of relationship, personal, professional, neighborly, whatever it is, there is always potential for us to hurt one another. And we're not perfect. But when we put on love, as the scripture says so beautifully, it binds everything together in a harmony, creating space for who we are, yet holding us together in something bigger. I tell you, my favorite line in this scripture actually is the opening piece. I've always loved that it says we should bear with one another. I find this to be a very honest thing. I am aware of many people who have had to bear with me in my life. Sometimes they're even courteous enough to grin while they bear it. But amidst that bearing with one another, we find the instruction to forgive. That it isn't just to put up with it, it's a seek relationship. Forgive. And it reminds us of the greatest example of forgiveness we'll ever find. Forgive each other as God has forgiven you. Do you hear the echoes of the Lord's Prayer in there? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus talked about this, and Jesus knew that it was about not only seeking forgiveness in our own lives, but also seeking to forgive those who were in ours. And I like this because God doesn't ask us to do anything God isn't willing to do as well. God's going to forgive us. And that sets the tone and the example for our ability to forgive others. In fact, God is always the first to forgive. Usually when we read about forgiveness in our scriptures, it's always in the past tense because it's already done. God has already forgiven us. Sort of this been there, done that moment. God has forgiven you. Because no matter when we talk about it, God is already there, already active in our lives, saying, I love you even though you make mistakes. But our scripture amidst all of this brings it back to the most important theme that we have as God's people. Love. Why do we forgive? So that we can love and be loved. Well, how do we forgive? With love. Now, this emphasis on love has actually helped me wrap my head around some of the difficulties I have faced with forgiveness in my life. And I don't think I'm alone, because I've sat at coffee shops and across from tables and in other moments and heard that I'm not alone in this. Sometimes there are parts of forgiveness that are very difficult for us. And so I want to bring us back to a conversation on love, because love, as it's used in the Bible, as opposed to in pop music, is a very specific kind of relationship. It's a relationship that's bigger than our mistakes and our issues. Some things we should know about love. Loving someone doesn't mean we have to like them. Anybody hear that when you're growing up? But it's true. There are people that we forgive that we may never desire to be around again. And that's okay, as long as it doesn't keep us from God's call to love all people. Loving someone doesn't mean we have to agree with them, which means forgiving someone is not an endorsement of their actions. We can firmly believe what has happened was wrong, as long as it doesn't keep us from loving all people. Loving someone doesn't mean we have to forget what has happened. I've never been a fan of the phrase forgive and forget. In fact, I know people who find that idea of forgetting to be the biggest roadblock to even believing they can forgive. Well, I'm never going to be able to forget this, so I guess I can't forgive them either. I don't believe there's anything wrong with having a healthy memory and maybe some good boundaries related to the past hurts in our lives, as long as they don't keep us from loving all people. See, loving someone is bigger than liking or agreeing or forgetting. Loving someone isn't contingent on these things. God calls us to love others. That's the number one thing God asks of us. And if forgiveness is loving people even after they make a mistake, I really want us to think about what it means to love other people, especially those who've hurt us. Loving others as God loves is to acknowledge our shared humanity and our common imperfection. Loving others as God loves us is to recognize and honor the same divine image they carry within them that we carry in ourselves as well. This is not a romantic love we're discussing here. This is a sacred, holy, divine love that we're invited to practice in our lives. And practice is an intentional word here. See, God has this down. God and the love thing, that God knows what God is doing. But us, we can only give it our best shot and keep trying when we fail. We are invited as God's people to practice love. And like they say, practice makes perfect. Except that's not true. My orchestra teacher always used to point out that practice makes perfect is a very incorrect statement, and this has stuck with me my whole life. Mr. Dalton always used to say that if you practice it wrong, you'll learn it wrong. And so he instead told us and had a sign on his door that said, practice makes permanent. And you know, I think this actually applies even more to the idea of practicing love and practicing forgiveness. You see, when we practice love and practice forgiveness, that's our best chance at making them permanent in our lives. Because forgiveness is not easy. It's not. Loving people is not easy. And so we have to try, and we have to try again and again until the practice can make it permanent in our lives. God's grace can help us get there. And then we need to remember that other folks are doing the same thing, practicing loving us and practicing forgiving us. Which actually reminds me of another hard part of forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves and accepting other people's forgiveness. In fact, for some of us, this is the hardest thing we could ever do. I mean, loving others, creating space for their imperfections, and finding a way to forgive, okay, I'll consider that. But seeing ourselves as forgiven, seeing ourselves as lovable even after our mistakes, understanding why anyone would ever forgive us for some of the things we've done, not so much. So again, we're invited to practice loving ourselves, loving us the way God loves us, and offering the same forgiveness for our own mistakes that God has already offered each of us. And so we practice that with a trust and a hope that it'll be made permanent. See, forgiveness shapes us. Forgiveness shapes us no matter where we find ourselves in the equation of what went wrong or the mistake, no matter what role we might have played in the situation. When someone else makes a mistake in this world, we are affected. No matter how much we might wish that someone else's actions didn't affect us, they do. There is no option where everything gets to go back to the way it was before the mistake. That's just not possible. And so when we choose to love someone, even after the mistakes, when we forgive, we're shaping who we are as people. And I believe that we're shaping ourselves more closely into God's image in a way that makes God a more permanent part of our lives. Forgiving as God has forgiven us. You see, just as much as forgiving someone changes us, we also need to remember that not forgiving someone changes us too. Like I said, there's no option where everything goes back, so we're going to be a new person either way. It's just a matter of which kind. Not forgiving people changes us too. And there is something I can only describe as a weight that we carry when we don't forgive. It's like we're choosing, consciously or not, to carry the extra hurt and frustration and the past with us into every single step of our future. It's a heaviness that's added to our lives that's ever present. And even when we don't notice it, it wears us down. It reminds me of a hike I took when I was a church camp counselor. I worked at Templed Hills, the camp we used to have outside out of Woodland Park there. And we were on an all-day hike. It was some of the older kids, and we were out taking our hike, which meant I had my day pack on, and I had the extra water for everybody, and the lunch supplies, and the first aid kit, and all these other things. And on this particular hike, I was finding myself exhausted in a way that was very unusual. I mean, I did this day in and day out. I usually could just, no problem, and move along with things. And the more we hiked, the faster and faster I was coming undone. Every single step, I was like, seriously? What's going on? And so we'd take a break. You know, I'm in charge. I get to call when the breaks are. I'm like, I'm tired. We're all taking a break. And every time we'd take a break, things seemed to get harder afterwards. The breaks didn't help. Every time we took a break, it was even more difficult to get going again. The last stretch of the trail we had to take, and we'd been out all day, the last stretch was up a grueling uphill path, and I honestly didn't know if I could handle it. Now, this was quite embarrassing. I had to stand there in front of this group of teenagers and say, look, I don't know if I can make it up the hill. We need to stop for a minute. And so I finally told them, and they all started to smirk. And then they started to smile. And then a couple of them started to chuckle, and within a moment, all of them were laughing. And they told me to take off my bag and look inside. And as I took off this day pack, unzipped the compartment, and took out the couple things on the top, I was amazed at what I found. Rocks. Lots and lots of rocks. There were big rocks, there were small rocks, there were round rocks, there were rough rocks, there were even some wet ones. What's up with that? The kids have been putting these in my bag all day. Every time one of them would walk up and talk to me for a minute, they'd left the top of my bag unzipped. They would just toss one in. Every time we took one of those breaks and I wasn't looking, that's when they put the big ones in. And it just kept accumulating and building throughout the entire hike. All day long, I'd been struggling under the weight of other people's choices and actions and decisions. And only when I finally acknowledged that I couldn't make it any further, only when I could acknowledge that I wasn't capable of bearing this weight on my own, did I realize I could do something about it. I could let it go. The whole time, I could have had a life in my step that was missing if I'd taken time to realize that others were affecting me. If I'd stopped to really consider all I was carrying with me and the effect it was having. This is how it is with our daily lives. We have to decide, will we allow God's grace and love to transform us as we forgive others? Or will we carry others' mistakes as our own burden? Not sure if we can make it any further. Amen.